Talk with Dr. Michael Smith, MD. And now, here's the country doctor with a city education, Dr. Mike.
So could you lift or have some help maybe elevating your mood a little bit, a little lift in your spirits? I think a lot of us can. We live very stressful lives. We just go, go, go. And we know that diet can affect mood, good and bad, up and down, right? And certain foods, we do believe, can influence certain neurotransmitters in your brain. And that's the connection there. Again, both up and down. So some foods can make you feel good. Some foods can actually drop your mood a little bit. So we're going to talk about that. My guest is Dr. Amy Shunney. She's a naturopathic medical doctor. She specializes in women's health, functional endocrinology, and family medicine. Her mission is to empower people to take charge of their health with integrative medicine. And I really like that sentence because I believe in that exact same thing. Dr. Shunney, welcome to Healthy Talk.
Thanks. It's good to be back.
Yeah. Thanks for coming back on. So let's get right to this. So the standard American diet, also abbreviated SAD, S-A-D, is it making us sad?
Yeah, I think it definitely is. It's so convenient that that's the acronym, isn't it?
It worked out nice, didn't it?
It did. I mean, it's a great teaching tool for people. And really, the fact that we eat so many processed foods, so many refined foods, so much sugar, that good quality protein, good quality fat, fruits and vegetables are lower on our list. I mean, these things are really, they're a recipe for depression and a poor stress response, frankly, among other things.
Yeah. Yeah, so the standard American diet, really, it's causing us to be overfed but undernourished, right? And so we're getting a lot of calories in, cheap calories, empty calories. We're gaining weight, and we're not feeling all that great. Is there anything, so when you look at that American diet, that standard American diet, is there anything in it specifically that you think is one of the culprits? I'm sure it's multifactorial, but are there any food groups that you just look at and say, okay, we can't eat that stuff?
I think the refined carbohydrates and sugars are a major issue for us as a country, and this continues to come more and more to the fore. It feels like more and more prominent docs and authors have published books on these things. Perlmutter's Grain Brain this year was a big one. I mean, just really getting people to think very seriously about what overconsumption of the wrong kind of carbohydrates does to cognitive function and to mood. So while I don't think we need to completely take carbohydrates out of our diet, because I see that too, and I think that's dangerous, I think that how much, sugar and, white flour, white bread, white pasta, those things that we eat, that's a real problem for us.
Yeah, and so I say this jokingly sometimes, but I kind of believe it. It's, sugar sometimes, I think we tend to attack the food a lot, and there's nothing wrong with a little bit of sugar. Sugar's not the problem. I'm the problem. We're the problem. We're over-consuming these things. And granted, it's getting harder not to do that because these ingredients, the artificial ingredients, the colors, the preservatives, the sugar, I mean, they're all over the place. It's hard to avoid them. But there are things I think we can do to at least cut them back a little bit. Let's do this. What would a, since we're talking about diet and mood here, what would a daily menu look like to you that would be a mood elevator?
Oh, wow, that's a great question. Nobody's ever asked it to me like that before. I would say, first of all, when you talk about a daily menu, one of the most important things that I talk to people about in regards to mood balance is blood sugar balance. And so that means that when you're looking at your daily menu, you need to eat something within an hour of waking up, and you need to eat regularly throughout the day. I'm not even talking about what we're eating yet. I'm just talking about food frequency. Because if you're not eating on a regular basis, your blood sugar is going to be on a roller coaster, and that is just a short circuit right to mood instability and a poor stress response. So first of all, you have to start with that. Then you want to look so what are you eating? I'm sorry. Did you want to say something?
No. There is one thing, because you said something that kind of made me think. So when I get up in the morning, you said eat within an hour?
Yeah.
Is that kind of what you're? Because that seems like, I mean, I know if I don't eat right away, I'm grumpy. If I wait an hour, I'm not going to be doing that.
So you're a good boy. That's a good thing to do.
But I
find that a lot of patients, for me, in my office, They're telling me they're not hungry and they're skipping breakfast. So I'm saying, listen, that's within an hour, you got to have something. If you're not starving, don't load up and have a huge breakfast, but you need something. And then we start to talk about the something, right? So to me, I like to make sure that there is good quality protein each time we eat. Now, in the context, again, of blood sugar balance, that's because that protein is going to give you a more sustained source of energy throughout the day, again, helping to balance mood and helping to manage stress as well. But also, in the context of, let's say, depression and neurotransmitters, many of the neurotransmitters in our brain have amino acid precursors, and amino acids are the building blocks of protein. So if we're getting adequate protein, that's going to support neurotransmitter balance as well.
So when you talk about is there a certain amount of protein that we should get in the morning? I mean, that's a common question I get. How much protein should I eat? Is there a specific amount we're looking at, or is it more the quality of the protein?
Well, you know, there is like an actual mathematical equation that you could use based on body weight. And I would say, you know, just from kind of watching people in practice over the years, you know, I feel like somewhere between 50 and 60 grams of protein a day is appropriate. I do find that a lot of people do better when they eat more of their protein earlier in the day. I think we're all a little different. I always tell people, you know, when you eat a meal and you feel satisfied and alert and like you don't need a big fat dessert, that is a clear signal from your body that you just ate a good protein to carbohydrate balanced meal for you. When you're tired and feel like you could just keep eating and eating and eating and you need dessert, I mean, that's not a coincidence. Something went a little bit awry with what you ate.
Okay, so we have the sugar we're going to avoid. We're going to wake up, and at least within an hour, we're going to eat breakfast and hopefully some good quality protein. What's the next meal look like to you? When does it happen? Do I need to eat within an hour or so after that? I mean, what give us some frequency and what lunch might look like.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, again, it varies from person to person. I find that some people do really well when they have a snack, you know, maybe mid-morning, have a little bit of, you know, hummus and carrots or a little bit of turkey or a piece of leftover fish or a handful of nuts or, again, you know, running that protein. And then lunch, you know, again, where's your protein? So, you know, whether it's a big salad with some protein on top of it, you know, of course, that's one of my favorites. I mean, I also, you know, I eat a lot of people like sandwiches, soups, you know, whatever it is. But again, you know, making sure that you're going low on the carbs, particularly refined carbohydrates, and that you have plenty of protein. You know, lunch and dinner can look a lot alike in that regard. The one macronutrient that I haven't mentioned yet is fat. And I think good quality fat is a really important piece of this picture, getting that just as regularly as you get the good protein. So when I say good quality fat, I mean fish, I mean avocados, nuts and seeds, olives and olive oil, coconut, these kinds of things. Again, you know, we have a satiety response in our brain that goes off when we've had an adequate amount of fat. So it helps us know when we're full and when we can stop. And of course, some fat is also going to help with that blood sugar balance and mood balance as well.
So we're following a nice menu here. I like the suggestions. Where do supplements come into play here? I mean, are there any specific nutrients that you think we need to supplement our diet with to help with mood? And you only got about 30 seconds. Sorry.
Oh, that's okay. So, you know, in regards to good quality fats, I think the omega-3 essential fats that are in fish and fish oil are a great thing for mood balance. We have great studies that show that omega-3s are essential for depression, smaller studies that show they're helpful with anxiety and excessive stress hormones. So, you know, it's a really important thing for blood sugar balance and mood. A lot of people have trouble getting plenty of fish. So I do recommend a high-quality omega-3 supplement like Nordic Naturals is a great retail brand that I go to in order to, again, help maintain blood sugar, maintain mood, and help with the stress response overall.
And real quickly, how many grams a day of omega-3s you shoot for?
I usually shoot for 1,500 to 2,000 milligrams of EPA and DHA combined.
Combined. Gotcha. Great. Thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate it. Great information. This is Healthy Talk on Radio MD. I'm Dr. Mike. Stay well.